Thank you, Greg and team. And again, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you today here at First Colony. And Greg, could I keep that order of worship? Thank you. Most of you have been to a wedding, probably, where you have seen a groomsman or a bridesmaid, probably well-intentioned, bring undue attention to himself or herself. And you've probably wanted to say to them at some point, hey, listen, we need to remind you that the wedding is not about you. It's not about the groomsman. It's not about the bridesmaid. The wedding ceremony is about the bride and the groom. You have a floodlight ministry. It's your job to be helpful. It's your job to help the groom. It's your job to help the bride. It's your job just to do nothing to bring attention to yourself, but to shine the light to illuminate the bride, the groom. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And whenever you see any place where Jesus Christ is honored and worshiped and loved with any degree of depth and enthusiasm, the Holy Spirit is at work, because the Holy Spirit, the Bible says of itself, he has a floodlight ministry to give honor and glory and attention to Jesus Christ. Now, if you believe in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to just say that, just to repeat after me. I believe in the Holy Spirit. You ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I believe in the Holy Spirit. One more time. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you really do believe in the Holy Spirit, in essence, what you are saying is, I do believe in a living God who is very capable and very willing to interact and change human will and human personality. Do you believe that? I do. I'd like to put a definition, description of the Holy Spirit on the screen. And may I just remind you that the Holy Spirit's part of the Godhead. There are three personalities in one God: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal it. It's he. It's a person. He can be, as we'll read later today, he can be grieved. He has emotions, has will, has feelings. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ's empowering and encouraging personal presence in and among us individually as Christians and together as a church. Did you know that the Bible says in the New Testament, two times it says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? It says at one time, when it speaks of you individually, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What that means is you are never alone. And you as a specific person and your body is sacred. But it also says that together as a church, that the church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so my body is sacred, my church is sacred too. Both are. And the Holy Spirit indwells me and indwells us, because when two or three are gathered together, there God is in a unique, special way. And so the Holy Spirit indwells me and indwells us. All right? And the Holy Spirit is God's invisible, empowering, and encouraging presence. Now, please never forget that just because something is invisible doesn't mean it's not real. The Spirit is invisible, but no less real. Okay, let's go to a passage of Scripture today. We're going to listen to Jesus as he talks to us a little bit about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then the Apostle Paul, as he talks to us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This may sound somewhat mystical to you, because the Spirit is just that. There is mystery to the Holy Spirit. Jesus one time used the analogy of the wind. You can't see the wind, you can't program the wind, but you can sense its effects, and you cannot deny its refreshing capabilities. Okay, from John chapter 16, Jesus says these words. You ready? Here we go. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. Here Jesus is speaking to his closest friends, and he's about to be crucified. and he's about to, in essence, go away. And there is a sense of sadness there and a sense of uncertainty. And then following, of course, his crucifixion, he would be what? He would be resurrected. And then a few days after that, he would ascend bodily back up to heaven. And then Jesus says something very peculiar here in verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate, notice that's an interesting description of the Holy Spirit. The advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. Jesus says it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, why is that? You ever tried to be two places at once? Sure you have, but you can't. You can't be two places at once. You can't be three, four, five places at once. And as much as I would love to look Jesus in the eye, Jesus in the flesh cannot be in this worship center and in the family life center at the same time. But the Holy Spirit can. Jesus limited himself in the flesh, in his body. He could only be one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit can be with all of us in a simultaneous way and can be with believers in churches right here in Sugar Land and in Uganda at the same time this very day. And so he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. By the way, this is another reminder that a church and a group of people should never become too dependent upon one person, two people, three people. If Jesus said, it's not good for you that you be too dependent upon me in the flesh, well, how much more then can in a church, can we not become too dependent on one person or two people or three people? But all of us, as the Holy Spirit works in you and in me and in all of us. In verse 8, he says, and when the Spirit comes, this advocate, this friend, this counselor, this helper, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. And judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. In other words, he says the Holy Spirit will push people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will work in your heart and in mind to convict us of our need for a Savior, that I am a sinner, that I am undone, that I am judged, and that on my own, I am not acceptable to the Lord. But the Holy Spirit will push us in the direction of Jesus Christ, because I need Jesus. I need my guilt and my sin covered, and I need to receive a righteousness that's outside of me, that is a gift to me from grace. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, convicts us of our unrighteousness, and pushes us towards Jesus. And then he says in verse 12, and there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future, and he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. He said to his first followers, and my friends, I believe he's saying it to us today, that you can trust God for your future and that the Holy Spirit will be involved in leading you step by step. In other words, he doesn't give you all the information up front and say, okay, now go practice it. But he leads us and he guides us step by step on an as-needed basis. One time, Jesus even told his followers, he said, sometimes you're going to be standing in a place where you're going to be asked to speak for me, and you're not going to know what to say. But don't worry. Because when you find yourself in that place, I will help you be bold. If you want to be used for me, I will help you, and you can trust that in the future. I love what the early church leader, Augustine, I still like to call him Augustine, but Augustine said, he said these words in talking about the Spirit's leadership in his life. When I look upon my own life, it seems that you have led me so carefully, so tenderly, that you cannot have attended to anyone else. But when I see how wonderfully you have led the world and are leading it still, I am amazed that you have time to attend to one such as I." God does love the world. God does love the church, and the church is His temple, and God loves you, and your very body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians talks to us about the Holy Spirit and about how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says these words, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Question, what does too much alcohol do to you? Answer, it makes you weird. It makes you do things you wouldn't normally do. But what does a person look like who is filled with the Spirit? Answer, they do things not normal for a typical human being. And this is the word picture that the Bible gives. Be filled with the Spirit. I want you to imagine a sailboat, would you? Just imagine that sailboat. And that sailboat, its sails are filled with the wind. And what is it that propels and carries that boat, that ship, from one place to another? Answer, it's a strong, stiff breeze. Now, the breeze can be blowing, but if I do not hoist my sail, I'm stuck. What I need to do is I need to hoist my sail so that I can catch that stiff, strong breeze of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to push me, carry me, encourage me, propel me along to where I want to go. So then what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? And how can I be filled with the Spirit? You'll hear all kinds of goofy things. How about let's not conjecture? Since the Bible, you know, these various books of the Bible are designed to, you know, make an entire point, and Paul says here in the book of Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit, why don't we just let him tell us how we can go about doing that, okay? Very quickly, why don't you follow me for a moment? Ephesians chapter 1, he says this, "Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit." So here's my first question to you. Are you a Christian? Have you turned from sin and turned to Jesus? When you become a Christian, you get the Holy Spirit. You don't get Jesus and then later get the Holy Spirit. You don't get part of God, you get all of Him. So, are you a believer? Secondly, chapter 2, verse 18, through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. In other words, we tap into the Holy Spirit when we pray. The Spirit helps us pray. And so I would ask you, do you talk to God about your life? You talk to God about your needs? Are you a person of prayer? Do you pray in the Spirit? How about this one? Chapter 3, verse 5 tells us that the Scriptures have been inspired by the Spirit, that the mysteries of God have been revealed to God's holy apostles and prophets. And so here's something I would ask you. Do you read your Bible? Do you listen to Bible teaching? And when you listen to Bible teaching, does it just sort of glance off of you? Or are you the kind of person who says, "Lord, speak to me, and I will be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only"? How about this one, chapter 4, verse 3, that the Spirit binds us together. Are you tapping into Christian friendships? I don't mean do you get together with a guy who goes to church and play golf. I mean, do you tap into Christian friendships where you encourage each other and pray for one another and exhort one another and bless one another? How about this one? Chapter 4, verse 16, that the Holy Spirit inspires us to do our work in the church. I would ask you, are you giving yourself to ministry in some either formal or informal way? Are you stepping out there in some sacrificial way to serve and bless other believers? In other words, it's just the normal part of a Christian life. How do I hoist my sail? How do I posture myself so that the Holy Spirit can bless me and fill me and carry me along? Just the normal part of a Christian life. Read my Bible. Listen to Bible teaching. Pray. Serve in some way that stretches me. Hang out with other believers where we talk about our lives and we pray together and we exhort one another. And the only thing that can sabotage this is if I grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's possible to do that. And you know how you grieve the Holy Spirit? You take that anchor that's on your sailboat and you drop it in and you say, God, I don't care where you want to take me. I'm not budging. I'm not going. I'm not moving. This is as far as I'm going to go. This is as far as I'm going to grow. And you know what? After a while, you don't feel any more nudges from the Holy Spirit. Because there's a grieving that's taking place. And I would say to you today, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, read your Bible, pray, have Christian friends, serve God, repent of your sin, stop grieving the Spirit, and turn in God's direction where He wants you to go. And you're smart people. The Holy Spirit works in your life individually. Listen to how He's nudging you. Now, what are the marks of a Spirit-filled person? How can you tell if a person is Spirit-filled? Well, here in Ephesians, the Bible doesn't give an exhaustive list, but it gives three telltale marks of a Spirit-filled person. All right, let's go back to the Scripture. You ready? Ephesians 5. Verse 18, he says, don't get drunk with wine. That's just going to ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And here's the way you can tell of a Spirit-filled person. First of all, they sing. Singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. In other words, God's people who really love Jesus love to celebrate the goodness of God in song. Now, gang, we would have a really hard time coming up with songs to sing that we could all agree on if they were songs about anything other than Jesus. Hey, let's all sing a song about our favorite sports team. Sorry, we differ. You don't want to be singing Rocky Top today. Hey, let's all sing a song about our jobs. Well, you know, I got laid off 2 weeks ago. Let's all sing a song about our prosperity. Well, I'm not very prosperous. Let's all sing a song about our great health. Well, I'm not too healthy right now. Hey, but here's something that we all can agree on. Anybody here love Jesus? We can sing songs about, and you know what? If you can't be happy singing songs about Jesus, I got nothing for you. One mark of a Spirit-filled person is, I want to praise God, and I want to sing and bless the Lord, oh my soul. And here's another quality of a Spirit-filled person. They are thankful, but not just thankful. Thankful in everything. It's that picture of Paul and Silas in Acts 16 being imprisoned and beaten for their faith. And where are they? Their feet are in stocks. Life is no good, quote unquote. And what are they doing? Singing praises to God. Notice what he says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, sometimes you just can't rejoice in the middle of a particular circumstance. Things are arduous and difficult and painful, and you've got all kinds of questions like, will this be as good as it gets? Will I ever have a day when I don't hurt? And I got to tell you, in all honesty, I don't want a hard marriage. I don't want to deal with a financial distress, and I don't want to have a physical illness. But God will never waste a pain. And whatever comes your way, God's not going to waste it. There is something redeemable in it. And the Holy Spirit is going to whisper to your spirit, hope wins. Jesus reigns. And it's all possible through the Holy Spirit with your spirit. One mark of a spirit-filled person is they want to sing and celebrate God. Another mark of a spirit-filled person, they can give thanks in all circumstances. And here's another mark. And further, they submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. They're basically nice people. They're not difficult to get along. They're flexible. What do? They submit out of reverence for Christ. I mean, because so much friction these days, it's over what? Somebody just not willing to be flexible in something that doesn't really matter. I'm not talking about being flexible regarding sin, but in something that doesn't really matter. Be willing to be flexible. Don't have the spirit that says, I got to rule, I got to dominate, I need to make the decision, it needs to be my way. And these are marks of a person who is filled, who they take their sails and they, you know, I can't nourish my own spirit. Here's what I can do. I can just take the sail of my life and hoist it and say, Lord, wherever you're blowing, I want to be there. I want to be there on Sunday morning. I want to praise and worship. Why? Because this is your temple, and I want to catch the breeze. And I want to read my Bible. I want to listen to teaching. I want to pray. I want to hang out with other believers. I want to serve in ways that stretch me. I want to hoist my sail. And you know what? As God touches you, you want to praise Him. You will find that even in your most difficult days, the Spirit is saying, hope wins. Jesus reigns. And even there, what the world cannot understand, there's a thankful spirit in you. Because your worst day here is nothing to compare to the glory that awaits you. Okay. One lady I know used to walk up to her minister regularly, and she would say, you know, every time I come to church, I just get so filled. I'm so full. And she would say that almost every Sunday. And finally, one day he looked at her and he said, I have an assignment for you. You tell me every week that you were so full. Here's your assignment. I want you to leave here and go slosh around on somebody. That's your assignment. Go slosh around on somebody. That's our assignment today, where we take the goodness and the grace and the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we go slosh around on somebody, and let's be the most refreshing people, people of truth and hope that we can be. Now, I want to close today and look at a passage of Scripture out of Acts chapter 2. It talks about the initial receiving of the Holy Spirit that is normative for us all, where the Apostle Peter had preached a fantastic message about Jesus Christ and His grace. People ask, what must I do to be saved? And here's his answer. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. What is repentance? Answer, it's turning my back towards sin. But get this, it's turning my face toward Jesus. Repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And notice, this promise is for you, it's to your children, it's to all who have been called of the Lord. This is an incredible promise that is ongoing, and it is available for us all. You're going to be filled with something, might as well be filled with the Holy Spirit. And remember, the goal of your life is not just to stop sinning. The goal of your life is to start worshiping. Because the closer you get to Christ, the less those distasteful desires of your life dominate. Repentance is turning my back towards sin, but it's turning my face towards Jesus. And as I pursue Him, those distasteful things in my life, it's not that they go away. Temptations are always there. But the great desire of, I mean, am I still tempted? Sure. But the great desire of my life, I want to honor Jesus. I want to serve God. I want to make Him proud. I want to make a difference for Him. And that is the great desire of my life and the great desire of yours. And what activates that desire, what gives it energy in life, is the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be born again and have a new kind of life. Acts chapter 3 says it like this. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. And then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And that's where some of you are this morning. You need some times of refreshment. Some of you recognize that. You have a decision to make. You don't know exactly what to do. And the Holy Spirit wants to be your counselor, your advocate. Some of you, you've got some people that you love who don't know Jesus. And you need the Holy Spirit to help you be bolder for Christ. Some of you, you're trapped in some sort of behavior, and you don't know a way out. And even though I didn't talk about it today, that's where the Holy Spirit is nudging you, and He wants to be your strength. And some of you, the Holy Spirit wants to use your gifts to make a difference in His church and to empower your abilities. And so He stands ready today to meet you and fill you as you hoist your sail and say, God, here I am. Fill me, lead me, touch me, guide me. All right. Let me ask you to take out your order of worship, please, and look at this communication card. Some of you may have already dropped this communication card in your offering tray today. But for those of you who have not, I'm going to ask you to take a moment and fill that out. And especially do I want to encourage you that if you would like to speak with somebody about connecting with this church, crossing the line and doing that, or speaking with someone about being baptized in Christ's name and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, we'd like to visit with you about that. And there are places on this communication card where you can indicate those desires. If you've got a prayer request, please write it down on the communication card. Take your time, fill that out. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. When we do so, just pass those cards to the end of the aisles. Our ushers will make their way up and down the aisles, and they will collect those cards. But please, just take a moment and fill that out. While you're doing so, I'd like to lead us in prayer. Why don't you bow with me and let's pray. Father God, I pray that today that your Holy Spirit would completely fill all who are believers in this place. Lord, I thank you that you are blowing, that you are powerful, and that you are at work. And if we'll just set our sail by being the kind of believers who we read our Bible, we pray, we fellowship, we serve, we're sensitive to sin and we turn from it, that God, at the end of all things, that we would be a people who are that we're thankful, we're gracious, we're kind, we're easier to get along with, and we're marked by singing, by an extravagant celebration of you. Holy Spirit, we're grateful, thanking you that the words of Jesus are true, that you don't leave us alone. You convict us of our sin, you point us to hope, you cause us to be new creations in Christ, and you give us particular gifts that are specifically needed at specific times so that ministry can continue. Lord, it is our prayer that we'll be open as your people, that we will love you as you have loved us first. This we ask, this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.